Tuesday, September 1st, the Church in Italy celebrates the Day for the Preservation of Creation. Pope Benedict made a point of remembering this special event at the weekend Sunday Angelus at the papal summer residence of Castel Gandolfo outside Rome. This year's event focuses on air, an indispensable element for life.
Martedì prossimo, 1° settembre, si celebrerà in Italia la giornata per la salvaguardia del creato.
Pope Benedict called it a significant event of ecumenical importance. I call everyone to a greater commitment to the safeguarding of creation, gift of God, the Holy Father said, repeating his message from the previous Wednesday's general audience. The Holy Father encouraged industrialized countries to cooperate responsibly for the future of the planet so that the poorest populations do not pay the greatest price for climatic changes.
The increased amounts of methane and carbon dioxide in the atmosphere are acting to warm the surface.
Dr. Jonathan Shanklin is a meteorologist at the British Antarctic Survey. He says the effects of greenhouse gases remain a very big concern for the Earth's atmosphere and environment.
And while some areas of the Earth will undoubtedly benefit from this warming, other areas will not. And on balance, there are going to be far more people that have a negative effect, particularly those that live in low-lying coastal areas where there will be increased flooding, particularly from tidal surges and the like. And it's many of these people who are least able to save themselves, as it were, because many of the poorest countries of the world, such as Bangladesh, there's nowhere else to go.
In many ways, we are sleepwalking, it seems to me, into disaster.
Northern Ireland's Cardinal Cal Daly of Armagh says we need to wake up and tackle a global emergency as our planet gets warmer and warmer. We are emitting too many toxic chemicals into the atmosphere, he says, and that has got to stop.
That in turn is leading to increasing the hole in the ozone layer. I think the evidence there is too long-standing and coming from highly specialized people to be ignored, and we are ignoring it.
Now, some people say, well, I won't be here to see the worst effects of global warming or what happens to the ozone. It doesn't make any difference to me. But do we have the luxury of thinking that way?
We certainly do not, and above all, as Christians, we do not. For a long time, we have been warned by our Lord not to repeat the cant of Cain, am I my brother's keeper? We are our brother's keepers. We are the keepers of the planet by divine mandate. Our Lord has mandated us and commanded us to till the earth and take care of it. And we now know that the Earth includes the whole of the Earth's environment. There is an ecosystem. There are systems of ecosystems, and they are all coherent, interlinked, and effect on one has a ripple effect over the whole system. And we are responsible for that system. And we are the people who are creating the greatest threat to the planet. And that's at every level. The extinction of species after species of creatures who will never, ever be repeated again. And rare and precious species like the elephants who are being exterminated for sheer human greed. The greed to possess ivory. Greed is at the root of a very large number of these problems. Greed for increased profits, greed for increased gold, greed for more ownership of oil and access to oil. All of these things are an indication that fundamentally the problem is a moral one. And how can Christians ignore it?
So you're saying that we have, as Christians, a moral obligation to protect the environment, and that naturally includes the ozone, as you're saying. But does that mean that for the Catholic Church, it's a sin not to do everything possible to protect the world we live in?
It is, of course. And Pope John Paul has emphasized the moral aspect of it and the sin aspect of it very strongly in many pronouncements, and most notably in 1990 in his wonderful statement, "At peace with God, at peace with the whole of creation." Care of the planet is a basic Christian duty.
Now, in your book, The Minding of the Planet Earth, you challenge what over decades and perhaps centuries has really become conventional thought, that religion and science don't mix. After all, the church condemned Galileo. Today, the church is dealing with questions, moral questions concerning stem cell research, the genetic modification of food. They're evolving sciences today. Can religion and science mix, or does one necessarily eliminate the other?
Not only can they, but they must, for the mutual good of both. They are parallel and complementary ways of seeking truth, but they're each to do with the seeking of truth. And having a religious faith by no means excludes concern for scientific explanation and understanding. Even the Christian faith about creation, the creation of the planet and the creation of human beings, the direct creation by God of human beings, does not exclude, indeed it requires, scientific explanation of how the planet, the universe, and how human beings attain their present state. And we find that God, in fact, was using the processes of natural evolution in order to produce the kind of universe and the kind of planet and the kind of human species which we have at the present time. The how this came about does not exclude why it is at all, and only God is the ultimate and satisfying explanation of why there is a universe at all when there might instead well have been nothing.
Where does it say then in the Bible that we do have a responsibility to take care of our planet?
There are two creation stories in Genesis placed side by side, and each of them revealed by God, and each of them therefore divinely inspired and part of divine faith. One has sometimes been misunderstood, and that is the first creation story, which commands the human being Adam to dominate the world, to subdue the world, till the earth and subdue it. And the subduing has sometimes, not in the Christian tradition, but by individual Christians perhaps, and people not of Christian faith, as a complete control of the earth to do with it what we will. But that is supplemented and, if you like, corrected, balanced by the second creation account, in which God places Adam in the garden with a mandate to till the earth and take care of it. And that taking care of it includes taking care also of farm animals and of, naturally by implication, all animal kind. Indeed, in Leviticus, we find that the divine commandment about keeping the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath holy is intended also to give rest to the animals as well as to the human beings who work the earth. And in the story of Noah and the whole Noahic covenant which followed the flood, we find that God had care for all the humans, all the animal species, and required that two of each species, male and female, be saved from destruction by entering the ark along with human beings. So God has care also for the animals and for animal species, the very animal species that we are more and more exterminating without any hope ever of replacement.
Okay, well, what can we as individuals do to clean up our own acts, get our governments to be more conscientious about the environment?
I think that the whole abuse of the environment is caused by a phenomenon which has been called impatience with limits. It's a salutary fact that we seem to act in practice as if the resources of the universe were unlimited, and as if our power and right over them is unlimited, as if there were no moral limits and no material limits to what we can do with the resources of the earth. But we have no excuse for that kind of attitude anymore. The resources of the earth are limited. Moderation in lifestyle and a concern about willful, wanton waste, that these are matters which are anyway, I think, part of a truly Christian lifestyle. And also accompanying all that, concern for the poor. The world is increasingly divided into two blocks, a wealthy northern hemisphere and a poor and deprived southern hemisphere. And it's not just that these two exist side by side, but that the north takes the fundamental decisions which serve to make the South poor and to keep the South poor, because we determine very largely, unilaterally, the terms of trade on which we enter into commercial relations with the poor part of the world. And therefore, our policies, the policies that suit the rich North, are in fact also impoverishing the poor South. And that kind of state of affairs should not be. It morally is intolerable, but also militarily, strategically, and economically, it is in the end unsustainable. And the planet and its human inhabitants are the primary victims of all that.
And a warm thanks there to Northern Ireland's Cardinal Cal Daly of Armagh and author of the book The Minding of Planet Earth.